I wanted to offer a few more reflections, elaborations on some of the instructions. I'm talking about checking the relationship to experience, checking the attitude. This is actually a pretty important part of the practice because so much of how we struggle, how we suffer is hidden in our recesses of our mind and not necessarily front and center in terms of what's going on there in the mind. And it also is a way to begin to be curious about what the mind is doing, looking at it as it's relating to experience, consciously checking, because we always have a relationship to what's going on. We're not so consciously aware of that relationship all the time, and so this makes it a little more conscious. And it is in the mind where we struggle, where we suffer. The Buddha said that the suffering, the struggle that we experience is related to greed, aversion, and delusion. And often those aspects of our mind, those qualities, those movements of mind, wanting something to be a certain way, wanting to get rid of something, beliefs, ideas about how things should be, just kind of taking something to be a certain way, believing it should be a certain way, that's more in the realm of delusion. That not seeing that that is happening is one of the key ways we get caught, key ways we suffer and struggle. And so becoming conscious of that, becoming conscious of the kind of hidden movements of mind. Helps us to begin to understand that it's our minds making this suffering. So this relationship to experience, we often will have one of these relationships, greed, aversion, or delusion. And yet we also may have what Sayadaw Utechaniya calls right attitude or wise attitude, a way of observing experience where we feel at ease with whatever is happening, whether pleasant or unpleasant, whether we like it or don't like it. There can be an ease. And when that is the quality of the mind, that is the place where the mind is balanced and interested, and where learning can really happen. When we're fighting, struggling, wanting things to be a certain way, the mind is not so able to really learn what's going on in it, because it's caught by that view. This is a problem. This needs to change. As opposed to, the mind wants something to change. So this kind of being curious about or checking the relationship to experience will begin to uncover things that we haven't, that we aren't particularly, we may not be aware of. So it's an important part of the practice. I've been suggesting that from time to time, you might check the relationship to experience. over time, as we practice, the interest in checking the attitude kind of becomes more. And for many of you who have done this a lot, done this kind of practice a lot, you may be in this place already where just the checking of the attitude is almost an organic part of the practice. You don't even have to remember it. You don't have to think consciously, oh, let me check the attitude. And so it does become, it moves in that direction. But earlier in our practice, if we're not so familiar with this style, we may have to consciously remember to check in, ask this question. Check. What is this relationship to experience? So the way ways of doing that is to use a question, as I just said, you know, using that question, what's the relationship to experience? What's the attitude? How am I with this? Those kinds of questions might kind of trigger the interest of the mind to begin to reveal something that might be hidden. And this is the way Sayadaw Utejaniya points to the use of questions in practice, that it's a spark for the curiosity and interest. It's kind of like you're dropping a question into your meditation, but you're not trying to figure out the answer. Just letting that question go in, and then you just keep being aware. So you might drop that question in, what is the relationship to the experience? And then just keep recognizing, you know, just notice, what am I aware of? What's here? What's here in this moment? But having dropped that question in, the wisdom faculty of the mind, the curious, the factor of curiosity, may begin to work on its own to kind of point something out to us. And so we're not trying to find the answer to the question. Dropping that question in, continuing the practice, there may be something that just shows up. Sometimes it can be sudden and kind of startling. Like, you're exploring experience, and it's like, okay, what is the relationship here? And there'll be a kind of, it's almost like you're hit over the head. Oh, this is what's happening. I mean, it's like it's obvious in some ways. You know, there's something unpleasant in the body, maybe. And, you know, there's not liking happening. And it's not like we didn't know that not liking was happening, but we weren't really aware of it. And so that shift where the mind goes, oh, this is what's happening. There's something unpleasant and I don't like it. That's what's going on. And there can be a little bit of a shift or a kind of some space, a little bit of a dropping or a settling. Oh, that's what's going on. So again, you know, just dropping in that question and then just continuing. You may or may not notice anything new or different, and that's okay. Just carry on. Another question that can be useful, I think I mentioned this briefly last night maybe, another question that can be useful around the attitude is, what's being believed right now? Because so often our attitudes, our kind of perspective of wanting something to happen, wanting to get rid of something, I mean, there is that greed, that desire, and that aversion. But that greed and that aversion are usually based in something. some kind of belief, an idea that things should be different. And so sometimes checking into the belief can be useful. Sometimes beliefs aren't necessarily creating a sense of aversion about the experience itself. It's just like, for instance, I talked last night about agendas in the meditation. So, you know, you might have the idea or belief that if the mind is jumping from one object to another, that there's a, you know, one thing and then the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, that it means the mind is not settled. That you have to settle the mind down in order to be clearly aware. And that may not be, it may be that you are experiencing a little bit of aversion, thinking that this is a problem. But really, and it may not be that these are unpleasant things. Maybe it's, you know, there's a pleasant experience there. But this idea that what I'm supposed to be doing is settling the mind down, and this is not a settled mind. We may not understand that as a belief. We may just be taking it to be true. Yes, I'm meditating. You know, I'm meditating. The mind is supposed to be settled. And so the beliefs that operate are often just taken to be the way things are. They're not really seen as a belief. And so this exploration, at times if something's going on and, you know, things feel a little confusing, or just things don't feel right and you don't quite understand, it's not an obvious greed or aversion about some experience, and that question of what's being believed right now might begin to point out or help the mind to see that there's some a view, there's a view, an idea underneath. That sometimes when we see those beliefs and views, we don't even believe them. You know, it's like we don't consciously believe them. But some place in us believes them. And sometimes we do consciously believe them. Sometimes we do think, yep, I'm on board for that one. But even recognizing that it is a belief and that we're on board for it, that's a different experience than just taking it to be the way things are. Understanding that it is a belief makes a big difference. So there's some, I said, you know, several times to check the attitude from time to time. And mostly I say that because early on in the practice, we may tend to get a little vigorous about checking the attitude, and then it can feel like this endless regress. Oh, that's my attitude. What's my attitude? Oh, there's aversion. Oh, what's my attitude about that? Oh, there's more aversion. And what's my attitude about that? And it just feels like it just is this endless regress. And so that's not so helpful necessarily. So I encourage a little bit more, especially at the beginning, just from time to time, you could check in, you know, every few minutes. But there's also some good times to check. And one of the key good times to check is if it feels like it's hard to meditate. If it feels like there's a struggle in the meditation, check the relationship, check the attitude, see if there's any beliefs going on. And again, just drop in the question. You don't have to look for the answer. Just drop in the question. See what, it's kind of like see what reveals itself. Another good time to check the attitude is after you've been lost in thought and the mind has gone off wandering and you remember, you come back. Talked about that moment a little bit this morning, that kind of checking in, just first of all, noticing that you've become aware again and seeing if there's kind of tension that's crept in to the system, relaxing if there has been. But sometimes it's also useful. I mean, there's the basic attitude that we often have a habit of when we return from being lost in thought, of judging ourselves for having been lost in thought. It's just useful to recognize that. If that comes up, and sometimes that comes up just automatically, that's the first thing you notice. Like, you're already judging yourself by the time you notice that you've become aware. And so if that's what's happening, just know that as an attitude. Oh, returning from lost and judging is happening. So just keep that really simple. But also there's the possibility, after we've been thinking for a while, if the mind has gone off, even if it's only for a few seconds, what the mind goes off into will be shaping what's going on. And so, you know, if you're lost in a thought about an argument that you had with a friend 2 days ago, and you come back and it's like, oh, I'm back, okay. If you kind of explore or think, okay, what's here now? You know, you might be kind of habitually thinking about, okay, body sensations, what's here in the body? You know, can I touch my feet? Can I be here in this present moment? But a chunk of what's happening in this present moment has been shaped by those thoughts. So there may be some lingering residual kind of emotions or feelings, ideas from having been thinking about that argument or that conversation with your friend from a few days ago. And if you don't consciously kind of acknowledge or check into the landscape of the whole experience, then that kind of shaping can enter into the way you're viewing experience and become an attitude. So if you were kind of annoyed in this conversation with the friend, and you don't kind of really consciously check in after returning from being lost in thought, that annoyance may become an attitude of how you begin paying attention to experience. So this is another good time to kind of check in after the mind has returned from being lost in thought, after you've acknowledged that you're back, notice what's here, and check the attitude. See if there's some lingering flavor of that being lost that is affecting your attitude in the moment. And a third time that's really useful to check the attitude is when it feels like it's going really well. I've been, you know, kind of surprised at times. Really feels like the mind is very clear, a lot of ease in the mind. And then, you know, sometimes you don't remember. I mean, when it's really clear, when the mind is really stable, it may not even think to check the attitude, and that's fine. You know, it's like it's just paying attention. You don't have to try to remember. It's like if the idea of checking the attitude arises when it feels like, oh, it's going well, oh, maybe I should check the attitude, then check the attitude. You may notice, I mean, it's possible that you might notice some kind of obvious, oh, I'm doing this well, I'm a really good, you know, meditator. You know, that might be there, a little bit of pride or greed, something like that. There also can be some subtler kinds of leanings. I found at one point, you know, really landing with, oh, this is, you know, this is a very clear experience. There was just this really subtle kind of leaning in, trying to make it continue. Just a little, like, just the subtlest kind of jumping on the back of the experience. It was, wasn't enough to get in the way of the experience. It was just a really subtle kind of, ooh, almost like investigation, a little bit too much, just a little bit. When I saw that, there was a recognition of, ooh, there's a little stress there. And that fell away. That trying to make it continue fell away. And the next thing that arose was fear that it wouldn't continue. That one kind of like was startling. You know, it's like, wow. It was just that little subtle trying to make it continue. That naturally fell away as it was seen. But then it was like, oh no, what if it doesn't continue? The next thing, so that I saw that too. You know, that was just the next thing. I just saw that. The next thing that arose was delight and awe, kind of this like, wow, the mind is so sneaky. You know, it goes in there and it's just like the subtlest little, you know, trying to make it continue, and then the fear that's underneath it. And there was the appreciation for this practice that I was encouraged to check that relationship that was masking. You know, there was just this very subtle kind of undercurrent of greed that was being masked, an undercurrent of fear that was being masked by how I was practicing. And so there was just a delight that arose, like, wow, I'm so grateful that these very subtle kinds of reactions were revealed. There wasn't a judgment, you know, it was just a really quiet, like, oh, that's happening. Wow, that's amazing. And if judgment arises, you notice that. You know, judgment does arise. It does arise in our minds. So sometimes when things are going well, we might see some obvious greed, or we might see some subtle kind of movements. I mean, I think in some ways that investigation was more about the idea that I had to keep it going. You know, it's just that I have to do this. So there's a delusion in there. That's a delusion being revealed. So sometimes it can reveal that. Sometimes when it's going well, what it can reveal is the mind that is balanced, the mind that is at ease, and consciously recognizing that. Now, what's going on? Well, there's ease and happiness in the mind. There's been so many times in my practice where kind of that check in, and I see something wholesome like that, it's like sometimes those wholesome qualities, they're just kind of like the greed, the aversion, delusion, they can be hidden. We don't actually sometimes consciously recognize them and feel them. And so checking the attitude when it feels like it's going well, sometimes we touch in and really begin to taste the flavors of wise attitude, the qualities of mind that come along when the mind is balanced, at ease, allowing what's happening. There are the flavors of wisdom in that, flavors of balance, of okayness, of calm, tranquility in the mind, equanimity. And there can also be the flavors of the Brahmaviharas, love, compassion, joy can be there also. And so when it's going well, sometimes the checking into the attitude may reveal these wholesome qualities, and the awareness of these wholesome qualities will strengthen them, will encourage them. That's probably enough about attitude for now. I also wanted to talk a little bit about this shift of attention that I brought in this morning, and noticing how the attention shifts from one thing to another. Noticing that experience, what it's like for the attention to shift. Getting familiar with that moment, you're getting familiar with one of the key places that the mind will head out of the present moment. And so often, I mean, you've probably experienced something like this. You know, you're sitting in meditation, a sound arises, and you kind of sort of know that there's a sound, but mostly what you're doing is thinking about the sound. Oh, what kind of bird is that? And then you're off. So you haven't really clearly noticed. You know, you were kind of noticing a flow of different experiences, and then the sound of the bird happened. And you didn't quite notice the attention went to that. It's like the attention was drawn so quickly that it was already thinking about the bird before you really became aware of it, and phew, the mind will just go right out that door. So if you can begin to get familiar with the experience or the feeling of, ooh, something new to pay attention to. Oh, how about that? There's a quality of the mind that it feels like an orientation a little bit. Ooh, there's something. It's like that. I just thought of this, remembered this. I don't know how many of you saw that animated film Up. There's a dog character in that can speak, and he's kind of talking to something, but talking to another character in the movie. And regularly while he's talking, he will be interrupted because a squirrel goes by, and he says, "Oh, squirrel!" And that's kind of how we are with some of these things. It's like, oh, squirrel. Oh, squirrel. Like, oh, bird. Motorcycle. Itchy toe. And that orientation feeling. You know, it's not so much what it lands on that's an interesting part of this experience. It's that feeling of, oh, there's kind of like the mind kind of goes, oh, something new. And feel that quality. And I pointed to that with seeing, looking, hearing, listening. It can happen in our body as well. So this shift of attention, it can be easier to see, I think, or to experience or recognize in the fields of seeing and hearing, maybe first. But as you start to begin to get familiar with that orienting experience, then you'll begin to notice it more easily. That's one way that shift of attention can be experienced. Another way that I've been really interested in lately, that's been coming up in my own practice a lot, is a shift of attention that's not so much about picking something up, but it's a shift of attention that comes with when the mind lets go of something. So it's no longer kind of, ooh, on that thing. It lets go. And there can be a feeling, there's a different quality to the shift of attention there. the attention shifts away from something instead of towards something in a way. And the feeling there can be, there's a feeling, a little bit of release. Sometimes it can almost feel very similar feeling to the experience that happens when you're falling asleep. Sometimes, I think many of us from the time we're young, we might occasionally notice when we're falling asleep a feeling of dropping. There is a feeling like that in the meditation when the mind lets go of an object sometimes. There's a feeling of dropping. It doesn't, if you're not attentive to it, it might feel like falling asleep, or you might actually kind of drop. Your body might drop in that moment. But we can also just attribute it. I mean, sometimes we might feel it and think, oh, I'm falling asleep, I better do something. But you're not actually falling asleep. And so, you know, kind of curiosity about that experience where it feels like, oh, if you can have the confidence to just allow the mindfulness to be with that drop. Sometimes it can feel like a drop and spread. And not feel like you have to pick up some object. To see what happens there. It's a little bit, it's an area of trust, because we so often think we have to pick up another object. The mind let go of something. Can you just be with that? That quality of that experience. What is it like when the mind lets go like that? Well, I said I would leave some time for questions, so I'll stop from my notes and see if there are any questions. Let's see. I can get the mic out. Lish.